This is the eighth lesson in first year Greek from Baptist Bible Seminary, sponsored by the Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collinsville, New Jersey. The date is November the 1st, 1984. Lesson numbers 11 and a half through 12, page number 43 to 46, paragraph 71 to 77. And this is taken from Beginner's Grammar of the Greek New Testament by William Hershey Davis, the teacher, Dr. D.A. Wade, director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collinsville, New Jersey. All right, let's open with a word of prayer as we begin our class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for Thy grace to us, for the mercy that the Lord Jesus has shown. We ask Thee that Thou mayest keep us faithful as witnesses for Him. Help me in my school as I teach the young people, as I have opportunity to speak before Thee and stand for the principles that Thou dost stand for in Thy Word. Help these men in their various occupations and tasks. Help them as they prepare for the ministry and for service for Christ. Help us in this class, our Lord. Give us guidance, and especially we pray for Lou, that he may not be discouraged and fall by the way, but he may continue to pursue and persevere in the class. We ask Thee for each one now as we take our tests and exams and as we study for the week to come. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, let's look at what we have before us tonight, and we'll... Then Manny has to leave, as he mentioned. We'll try to take our tests and then get the assignment for next week. Also, and then he can go ahead and leave. Oh.
Excuse me, I have Larry's test. All I did was mark the ones that he got wrong, but I didn't know what base
okay.
it was or anything.
All right. When we grade the others, let me put this out here, and then
that's,
we'll kind of... Last week or week before?
Week ahead.
Week ahead.
124, because I couldn't bring it last week because I didn't come.
Oh. That's a week ahead. I don't understand. Week behind?
I wasn't here 2 weeks ago. Steve wasn't here last week.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You mean a week ahead or a week behind? A week behind or a week ahead? I don't understand.
It's 10:24.
So which was?
2 weeks. Which was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, all right.
And I have Steve.
All right, fine. Let me put that right there. So as we move along in that area, we'll catch those. All right, tonight... which is the first. We have 11 and a half and up through 12. So we have the exercises in paragraph 71, and then we have all of 12. So let's look at some of these prepositions. From off or away from, usually the ablative is what?
Upon.
Upon, all right. And into, with the accusative only, into?
Ace.
Ace, all right. And out or out of or from within rather?
Ek.
Ek or? Ek. Ek or ex. Ex before words with a vowel. And in, the locative only? Sometimes instrumental. In, all right. Sometimes instrumental. Beside, with the locative, ablative, or accusative? Para. Para, all right.
Para.
Para. P. P. Alpha. Rule. Alpha. Yeah, instead of para. Instead of Tara. Thinking of Tara cards, which is satanic. With. Soon, all right. Soon, all right. Instrumental only. And send forth.
Apostello,
all right. And bring in. Esago. To throw out, to cast out. Ekbalo, all right. To take or receive.
Paralambano.
To gather together. Synago, all right, synago. Synago, okay. So it's really short and brief and to the point, isn't it, our test for tonight? There's no real... there are no real big... Yes, that's right. All right, so if you take your papers out, we will give it to you there. And I think we have just 11 words. Date is the 1st of November. 1984. Ready? Word number one, to gather together. Number two, from, off, away from. Preposition. Number three is to take or to receive. Number four, into. Number five, to throw out or to cast out. Number six, out of, or from within. Number seven, bring in. Number eight is in. Number nine, send forth. Number ten, beside. Number 11 is with. Any questions on any of those?
All right.
That's just 11. Yeah, 11 is with. Mm-hmm. I think just 11. I should have said it further. Any other question on that? I go right ahead and work on those.
Assignment for next week, which will be chapter 13 and then 14 and a half. So if we look at 13, we're going to get into the imperfect, indicative, middle, and passive. That's going to be our portion for next time. Let's look at the vocabulary here first on paragraph 70. Let's get the overall picture of the assignment. Now, you know the vocabulary, paragraph 78, the conjugation of leo in the imperfect, indicative, middle, in paragraph 80, imperfect, indicative, passive, paragraph 83, which is the same as the other. So that's more or less identical. We take our exercises in paragraph 87. No one, you know, the other. But
so you just translated twice?
That's what you're thinking about. It, you're going to have to say this is the middle, and this is how we translate. This is how we translate. Mm-hmm. This is the passive. This is how we translate. So
okay.
We'll probably have you run through it twice just to fix it in your mind. So if you miss one, you miss two, really. But then translate it. Give us the meaning of it in a different sense. So you get that fixed in your mind as to that. And then paragraph 87, the exercises. Naturally, we'll have those. And then half of 14, which would be the paragraph 88, the vocabulary. Feminine, well, we should have split this up, shouldn't we? From tonight to the other. That's kind of nice. Basic. Is that right? Well, that's good. 88, we got vocabulary. And then 90, the number 90, we'll learn phoné and come. Phoné and come, that's right. These are the feminines. And this is the first sequential, isn't it? Let me
yep.
see. Yeah, like it is the first. We're back into the first sequential.
You get a full load.
That's right. So then we don't take exercise. That'll be the following week. All right, any questions on the overall picture? We got what that is. Paragraph 78, 80, 83, 87, 88, and 90. Got those three vocabularies and three or four. Well, only one. As far as the verb and two of the nouns, but they're two separate. All right, let's look at then the. If you want to leave, you can. I don't know what your time
is. I was going to go at 7:30.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. We'll go ahead then and take a look at some of these. I look up for recover sight would be what?
On
the level. All right. Now, how do you get that? How do you derive it? That we've learned blepo as I see.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you derive I look up or recover sight from ana blepo?
Well, we didn't get the
proof. We didn't have ana. We haven't got ana. Okay, ana means up, you see. But also it can mean again. See? That's where the difference is. It might, except it might be born again. Ana genosko, see, ana genosko. Ana can mean born again, once again, another time, or born from above, so that's something that form from above, you know. But ana is up. This is how they get it. So I look up, ana, that's up. But I look or see again, recover sight, that's ana in the sense of again, another time. See? So you got two meanings for ana. The basic meaning is up, but it can mean ana again. For instance, ginosko is to know, ana ginosko is to know again. And it's to read. That's the word for read. Anagnosko, say to read, to know again. You know again something because you read it there.
Mm-hmm.
So ana, both up and again. All right, any memory hints on ana blepo? I guess a blip on the screen is sort of related to blep, isn't it? Maybe blip, a sight, something that you see, a sighting? Possibly, I don't know. All right, I keep off or have in full. Of receipts. In the middle, I keep myself from or abstain. What would that be? Up echo. All right, how do we get this now? How do we drive this? You know, echo. We've learned echo, have we?
Yeah, echo. Have.
Echo. goes from. Okay. So I have away from, I keep away off, from. I have in full. Now, have in full is what sense of apta? What sense of the preposition? Remember that sense? The second sense we learned last week? The type of preposition. It's the perfective meaning. See, the two different meanings, that would be over on paragraph 75. I throw out merely local. See, that's the one. And then number two is intensifies or completes the idea. See, that would be the perfective sense, the intensification sense. So I eat, estio, I eat up, or eat down, cut, estio. See. So this is the sense of ap echo, I have in full, see, apo, completely. I completely have, I have in full. Like, remember we said the word for to know, gnosko, and gnosko, and I know completely would be epignosko. See. So epignosis is full knowledge, gnosis is disordered knowledge. So in Colossians, epignosis, full knowledge, complete knowledge, epi in a perfective sense, knowing fully. So here's having in full of receipts. And I keep off, I have off, I hold off. See, I keep off in the sense of echo for meaning hold. So I hold away, I keep off. So that's the literal sense there. But in have in full is the perfective sense of that preposition. The middle is I keep myself from or abstain. You can see how that would be. All right, I die as well.
Apophenisco.
Apophenisco, right? Apophenisco. Did we learn anything? Phanatos, did we learn death? We learned Phanatos, death, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So apophenisco, away from die away from, die off. I don't know how that would be, but the same Thanatos is this apophenisco. But you notice it's apocopated, it's shortened, it's abbreviated, it's elided. There's an ellipsis here. There's no vowel between the theta and the nu. See, the nu. It's normally than, but here's thnesco. All right, I follow after, pursue, or persecute is what?
Dioko.
All right, dioko. Dioko. All right, now, follow after, it does mean, and pursue, and sometimes when you follow after somebody and pursue them, once you get them, you pound them, or you hit them, or you kill them, or you knife them, or something. So this is also persecute, the same word, to follow after. So I don't know of a cognate in English. Any of you know any? Dioko. I don't think I can think of any. All right, I glorify as well.
Doxadzo.
All right, doxadzo. Did we have glory yet, doxas? Or not praise? Do we have that? Nothing. All right, doxa is praise, and the doxology is our memory.
Yeah.
Doxa. It's praise, and doxa also is orthodoxos is straight praise. See, praising the Lord straight in a straight manner. Therefore, it's hewing to the line of truth. Orthodoxy. Heterodoxy is other doxy. Heteros is another other, and it's a false praise or it's wrong praise or it's erroneous. Doctrine. All right, so doxadzo, I persuade, it's what?
Patho.
Now this word patho, it's an interesting, it's got a lot of roots there. Patho, believe, pistis is faith, you see, and there's lots of persuasive, the root is faith, and to believe, and therefore persuade somebody else, patho. Mm-hmm. In fact, that book that I had out here, I didn't keep it here. It's over in the other room. Remember that one that had all the roots in it?
Yes.
That's probably, that would be all in here, all these different roots. For I should probably get that out here. That would help us as far as some of these words and see what the roots are related to. So then you can maybe see them a little better. So persuade. I don't know in English we have any pathetic. He's a pathetic. Because patheo is to feel, see. Pasco is to suffer, pasco, and epathon is pasco, epathon is the aorist, second aorist. See, pasco, as seems no relation to pasco to epathon, but the epathon and pathon and patheo and pathos is like pathos, that's to feel. See, pasco is to suffer, see, so suffering or feeling But this is not the right same root, because faith is a little different, see. So maybe pathos might be something. Pathos, that's possible, see. Well, Lou, good to have you there. Pathos is a possible clue. You know, pathos is feeling. It's emotion, isn't it? But it's persuasion. I'm not sure whether it's persuasion. Maybe it's not. No, pathos is P-A-T-H-O-S, so that's not it. That's a P-E-I. Pathos. All right, to persuade. I bear or carry?
Pharaoh,
with a little trail on the rope. Pharaoh, on page 46 there, Luke, for next week, lesson 13. All right, Pharaoh, we have plenty of those, have we not? Lucifer, light bearer. Of course, Luke's is Latin, and Pharaoh is Latin to bear, to carry. But Pharaoh, in Spanish, the ferrocarril is the railroad ties, railroad train. It's something that carries ferrocarril, the railroad train. But Pharaoh, oh boy, transfer. Of course, that's Latin again, but it's also Greek. See, Greek was first and Latin was next. This is the Latin border from the Greek. Oh, we should have a lot of Pharaoh. What are they? I just think of the Latin transfer. Pharaoh. Ferry is something that carries people. Yes, that's right. So the right side, not F-A-I-R-Y. P-R-R-Y, is that right? F-A-R-Y,
yeah,
ferry.
Yeah.
And, isn't that funny? Ferry, that's so familiar. But I get the Latin transfer, and, it's still Greek. So, Ferris wheel, they carry a lot of people. All right, that's possible, sure. Ferris. Not sure whether that is or not. It could be. All right, let's go on to on or upon is what? Preposition. Along. On, upon, or along. Use an accusative. I see on, upon, or along. They don't give any meaning of up at all there, do they? Strange. Let me look under the Dane and Maddie under ana. See if I can get the right.
You said it means again, too.
Yes, and when it's used in all that's used in composition, the words, the verbs, as compounds, 96. Okay, look it up. Root meaning up. They absolutely twisted. You might put that, add that to this book, because that's a. I'm sorry about that. I just, as I said, the root meaning is up. In composition, it can mean up, back, or again. See? Anakinose, Romans 12:2. I beseech you, therefore, beloved, my brethren, that you present your bodies, you know, and then second the verse, by the renewing of your mind. See? Anakinose, anew, again, or renewal. See? Kino is new, and ana is an again. Really, yes, sir.
Well, up isn't a preposition. That's probably why it's not there.
That's what I thought too, but I looked it up in the up. Back and it doesn't have it.
Up isn't a preposition?
It's an adverb.
Or that's true. All of these were originally adverbs. See, I know. See, and that's the thing. They're all originally adverbs, and then became prepositions as they're used in certain cases. See, all the prepositions, as we said before, were formerly adverbs. So you're right, up is not. Well, I don't know why it wouldn't be up the street. I live up the street. Well, almost.
I don't know if up the street. I don't know if too good at
that. Well, maybe that's not English.
Preposition.
That means good English.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
They moved where? Up the street. I guess you're right. It's still an adverb. Have to be into the street.
No, Philadelphia, it's always down the street.
Yeah, down the street. Yeah, you're right. So I guess up can't have a preposition.
So that's why it's not on there, and they're defining this as preposition.
Up the tree? Oh, it's close. It's close. Yeah. Into the tree, at the tree, by the tree, beside the tree. Why not up the tree? I just wondering. We would probably combine it. He went up into the tree, but up is still an adverb in the purest sense. And of course, we're dealing with purist hearing, see, so we got to be careful. All right, and resultant meanings are in composition only the accusative case. A number of things. Let's see. Having wings can mean to the number of six in a distributive sense. In the midst of ana. So new again or up, you see, and that's the argumentation as far as you must be born again or you must be born from above, see. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think both are.
Wouldn't that fit into the context better?
What's that? Above, from above?
From above.
Spiritual realm, possibly so. But also,
but the
context,
yeah,
that's true, from above, but also the context, born again, another time, can I enter a second time in another room anymore? So there it's right in the context, a second time, so I'm now being again another time. And of course, that's very definitely in the meaning of it. So, either one, I've always stuck to the born again, but I know the more modern translations, they have born anew and born from above, and so on, I guess from above. But both are possible there. All right, I die. So we already had that. Have we got? Now I guess that's the end of it, isn't it? Boy, it's only seven words. So I guess we're all right on that. Now, paragraph 79, that's just background if you want to indicate the secondary tenses. Is that it, Jen?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I haven't come that close for quite a while. The secondary tenses instead of versus primary tenses, main, soft, top, methus, the top. It just lets you know that instead of my, psi, tai, men, ste, untai, it's the top, the endings with the omicron instead of the epsilon. So that's all, just to get those different endings. If you want a comparison, I wonder where you could turn. I suppose page 41, there's a few endings of secondary active tenses, but perhaps there's a better one. Yes, over on page 38 at the top. Omai, esai, etai. Ometa, este, ontai. See? Mm-hmm. Just so you know, they change from I to off to the omicron. So that's the basic difference between the primary tense and the secondary tense.
I'm not sure what you mean by secondary tenses.
Well, it's certain tenses applied to in middle and passives, see. If you take, for instance, a look at your chart, your active voice right there, you take a look at the endings, you'll see that the present tense ends in the usi, of course that's the present indicative, imperfect, all these are ete. See, look at this ete, if you wish, ate, ete, akite, and so on. See, those are all primary tenses, but you're ending there. You go into the middle, however, and you have the este, 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 you have the ontai, but the ontai still is a primary tense, but it's in the middle frame of reference. But as soon as you go over to the imperfect, elu on top. See, instead of luetai, it's elu at top. As soon as you get the a ending, omicron ending, that becomes a secondary ending. Future is still primary, etai, tai, tai. But aorist, at top, see, on top. Second aorist, on top, at top, see. First perfect, lo and behold, is back to primary, the anti, and so on. It's the, so you can't have any rule. First pluperfect, again, is un top. The endings of the a are secondary, the endings with I are primary, and who goes what and why, who knows. See.
Well, what do you mean when you say primary and secondary? By primary, you mean they're used more often, and secondary are used less often? Is that what you mean?
I don't know what they mean. All I know
it's
is
just
that
two different sets.
These two different sets. I really don't know what they mean. I suppose, and it says apply to the indicative mood, mode only, see, because here we have the mode right there. I call it mood rather. The tie. Well, they apply to the indicative mood only because apparently there's no subjunctive for these other things in the imperfect and future, and over here in the first pluperfect, it's basically only the indicative. So
will they be used when? You're using it with a specific personal pronoun, with those pronouns, I guess it would just be, if you're using the pronoun I to tie in with a verb that already has a singular first person ending, but you know, you would have a stronger by using the pronoun tie, would that pronoun have this
ending?
Be made to have that
no.
ending?
No, it's just the pronouns are separate and distinct. For instance, I is ego. And
so what would it be for so. For the that ego for the indicative middle? What would it be?
Ego eluamen. same form, is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, same. Ego, eluam.
It would just be ego?
Eluam.
It wouldn't, okay, it wouldn't be. No change at all.
Now, I noticed on page 41 where it says, paragraph 66, personal endings of secondary active tenses are, and they give them. And then footnote 1, C17, footnote 1. So
okay,
I take it that's, and that maybe explains it. Personal endings are the active voice, primary tenses, the primary were these. Footnote, the primary tenses are the present, future, and perfect. The secondary tenses are imperfect, aorist, and pluperfect. So that may be primary in the sense that we use them more frequently. Maybe that's the sense. So, Steve, and answer your question. I don't know. Secondary, imperfect, aorist, pluperfect. That's possible. On the other hand, imperfect is past, aorist is past, pluperfect, they're all past, but of course, so is perfect past. You know, so again, I'm up in the tree without any. I don't know the reason, and I'm sure that the grammarians have a reason, and they
maybe historically or something. There were
the
three tenses at the beginning: present, future, and perfect.
That
and
could
then
be.
Present
that
developed
be.
And imperfect, the future and the aorist.
Yeah, that sounds like a logical development in there. That's certainly one way of looking at it. So I'm sure they would have lengthy discussions of it, but I don't. A tense analysis of elements in and so on. 168, Dane and Maddie. The endings, I don't know that they'd have too much on the endings. They give the meanings of them, but the endings, I'm sure Robertson's Large Grammar would have that, but I don't know. Other than these three tenses, primary and three secondary, that'd probably be the best explanation at this point. They say that we're to answer no more than the questions that are asked by our children as far as certain things, and so I suppose the same may for me as far as our Greek. But I'm sure there's a great deal of deeper meaning than these, but I let that suffice, I would think. All right, any other questions on that? Primary, secondary. So let's take a look at the conjugation of the imperfect indicative middle of li'o. And li'o means what?
Destroy or loose.
Destroy or loose. Let go. Leo. Catalysis. That's all. Analysis. Analysis. So, I was loosing. I was loosing for myself as well.
Eluami.
Eluami. You were loosing, or you were loosing for yourself, either direct middle or indirect middle.
Eliu.
Now here you see all of your abilities in pronunciation of Greek come to the fore. Here you've got an E in the presence of U. And if those people who use E instead of U, Eluu, and there's no distinction. So that's why you've got to have the Eliu. Eliu, see? Eliu. Almost say like an E. Eliu. See? Push your lips or otherwise as the case may be. Eliu, you were loosening. He was loosening, or he was loosening for himself. Eluetah. We were loosening, or we were loosening for ourselves. Eluamatha. And ye were loosening for yourselves, or you were loosening yourselves. Eluetah. They were loosening themselves, or they were loosening for themselves. Eluetah. All right. Let's try that in series. Eluamain, Eliu, or say it together, shall we? Eluamain, Eliu, Elueta. Eluamata, Eluesta, Eluanta. Alright, try it again. Eluamain, Eliu, rather, Elueta. Eluamata, Eluesta, Eluanta. Alright, any questions on that? Again, paragraph 81 and 82. 83, or more or less back in 82, rather. Except the thematic vowels are discussed in 81. 82 has been the present tense, so in the imperfect middle and passive forms are alike in form. So we've already observed that, but they're different in meaning. In other words, eluamein is I was being loosed,
mm-hmm.
or I was loosed, or I was loosing myself, or I was loosing for myself. So let's go ahead with the passive. I was being loosed, you were being loosed, he was being loosed, we were being loosed, you were being loosed, and they were being loosed. Right? Let's go through those in series, same form, but we'll pretend like we're doing the passive now. Eluamein, Eliu, Elueta. Eluamata, Eluesta, Eluanta. Again. Eluamein, Eliu, Elueta. Eluamata, Eluesta, Eluanta. Almost ready for time of departure there. have many, so whenever you want to go, any questions you may have before you depart?
No.
All right.
I think so.
Okay. Did you have your sentences you left with him? Okay, good. We'll take care of them and get them to you. All right, paragraph 85, the personal endings of the verb have to express the three things, the person of the verb, the number of the verb, and the voice of the verb. Now, what personal ending, for instance, on the I was loosing for myself, or I was loosing myself, eluamen, the ending is main. How does that give us the person? How many persons are there in English or Greek? How many persons?
Three
persons. What are they?
First, second, and third.
What is the first person? How would you define that?
It's self, I guess.
Act.
Self? The person is the one speaking, right?
Mm-hmm. I,
we, whatever. First. What's the second person?
One spoken to,
you. What is the third person?
Being spoken about.
One being spoken about. That's a technical thing. Oh, by the way, Lou, here's this basic skills in English. You asked about that.
Yeah.
The middle half of this book is the one that reviews grammar.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part is a writing course, but this is the one we use in school, and it may be meeting your need. Learning about, see, it's a handbook. Here's the basic things of what it contains. What's all over? Ruth is ordering one from Manmar. Okay, so I'm going to have good success in study.
Yeah.
We'll see. She's ordering one for Manny. If you're interested, she could order one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The number of the verb, amen. How would that indicate number? How many numbers do we have?
Two.
Namely,
single verb.
How would amen or main indicate number? What number would that indicate?
Singular
as opposed to
plural.
Or amatha, right? So what about voice? Amen. Of course, that ending in and of itself. It's possible for voice, but in this case it's confusing because middle and passive are the same voice, are they not? Amen. So if they express everything that has to do with the subject, and the indicative, they tell whether primary or secondary as far as an ending. So the voice of the verb, the endings, they do tell whether it's active, middle, or passive usually, but in this case, middle and passive are the same ending, so they don't tell exactly. See. But they normally would tell the voice, active, middle, or passive. And what is the active voice in Greek or English? How would you
the
define
it? Speaker is doing the action.
Speaker doing the action. I
go.
Go or say I hit, something like that. And what is the another voice?
Middle.
What is that? How would you define that?
Speaker acting on or for himself.
On or for himself. I hit myself or I hit for myself. What's the passive voice? How would you define that?
Speaker being acted upon.
Speaker or subject being acted upon. Namely, I was being hit, right? Or I was hit or I was being hit. By the way, in the passive, you always have the verb to be plus the past participle, the verb to translate. I was talking to Phil and explaining to him and that on the phone, I guess, and I said that probably a good thing to bring out to the class. See, passives always have the verb to be. I am, and then the past participle, hit, I am hurt, I am interested, whatever it may be, and not maybe interested, but I am swimming, see. No, it wouldn't be swimming. It would have to be, I am hit, the past. That's the passive. I have to do the past participle, the verb you're translating. And I shall be. See, that's I shall be, then the past participle, hit, I shall be pushed, I shall be, you know, I have to get something with action in there, see. And so that's it. I am being pushed, I am being hit, see. I am being helped. All these are. So the passive always has a verb to be. I was hit. I was hurt. No, that's not exactly. Yes, I was hurt. That's right. I was hit. I was helped. It's verb past tense, you see, future tense, and then put the past participle, the verb you're conjugating, hit, hurt, helped, and so on. That's by definition. Now here you have past progressive, I was being loosed. It could be just simply, I was loosed for the passive here, as you want me. But since the present gives a picture of a progressive, I was being loosed is what they are. But notice on top of 48 in paragraph 85, the personal endings of the verb must be mastered. I think that's the important part of the whole thing. The whys of them are not as necessary as the purposes, the background, the primary or secondary or whatever ending, but you must master them and know them. And the importance of the forms of the verb cannot be overstressed. If the verb forms thus far given are thoroughly learned, the student has overcome the greater part of the difficulty in the regular verb. So, because other things will merely repeat once you learn these basic. Any questions on that, please? Yeah.
I have a question. What's a perfect? What is a perfect? If this is imperfect, what's a perfect?
The perfect, imperfect is, I was going, I was hitting, I was laughing, so on. It's the present progressive, I am hitting, I am laughing, I am studying, I am reading. In the past tense, I was studying, I was learning, I was reading. But perfect is, I have learned. We would say a present perfect tense is a pretty good approximation in English. I have hurt myself, I have read in the past, I have gone. See, that's basically the perfect. Instead of I was going, it's I have gone.
There is such a thing
in
the Greek?
Oh, yes.
What's an aorist then?
Aorist is a simple point action in the past.
In the past.
Yes. For instance, I hit. I went. Not I was going. Not I was hitting. But I hit. Mm-hmm. I went.
They always
I
say
found. That. It's sort of a point action. Perfect. I have found. I have hit. I have gone. See, it's perfect. Passive. It's just a simple past, we would say in English. In French, passé défini, past definite. So that's what they have. They have a regular passé défini, which is I hit, I went, so on. They also have an imperfect past, the French does, which of course is I was hitting, I was going. Same way with the Spanish. Spanish has a pretérito, which is the past, the preterite, that's I went, I hit. Also has the imperfecto, the imperfect, I was hitting, I was going. So you see, all these languages have a similar facility about them, and the Greek is no exception.
Well, I thought the Greek didn't have an actual past tense like that, like the aorist.
Yes, they do. Now, aorist is basically idea of action. The tense in the Greek is basically always action, but it does have, generally speaking, a past time frame involved. See, the Greek goes, these other languages one better, though. The other languages have a passé défini, which is I went, and imperfect in the French, I was going, and the Spanish, pretérito, a preterite, I went, and imperfect, I was going. But they don't have the perfect, I have gone. Now the English does, the Greek does. I have gone, see, he has gone, we have gone. And the Greek has the pluperfect, I have gone, or similar to that. See, the pluperfect, which is this one here, this form way out on the right here. And the English has, I had gone. See, the English is full, the Greek is pretty full, as far as meaning and so on and so forth, but some of these other languages are not as methodical and as exacting as English and Greek. So it's interesting that we have both languages, English and Greek, approximating themselves in some of these tenses. Now, the Greek aorist and the Greek imperfect and the Greek perfect have far more wide-ranging nuances and senses than the English that I just explained, but this is briefly a rule of thumb, sort of something, a peg to hang your recollections on, anyway, which we all need. Help us. And that basically was it. Any other questions on that? All right, so much for 85. Now 86. He thought prepositions used with the ablative case to denote the agent by, especially with the passive voice. They were being baptized by John, the agent, or by someone. See, the agent, agency. You follow the ablative. There are different Greek agencies. There is dia, which is by means of or through. There's hypo, by, and so on. Hypo technically is a primary agency, and delta, iota, alpha is a secondary agency, if you want to be technical about it. See, this is again, exegesis we get in the primary agency, hypo by the one that actually does it, but if he does something by someone else or through somebody else, it's dia, see, through that in sense. And by hupa is primary. But that's a technical point. Hupa is primary agency, And that's why he baptized by John. He probably throw that in there, why they do it. There's other ways of showing agency. Sometimes you show agency just by means of the lock of the instrumental or dative case, instrumental case, let's say, just without any preposition. Just by, he came by rail, you know, just in the dative case, or by train, versus, I don't know the Greek for train or by rail, but by a boxcar, or by ship, see, ploion, the ship, and so ploio, see, by ship. By a ship, by means of a ship. That's means or agency. If you pause agency, and then I think there's even ek, agency, it's from the ek. I don't know that Dan and Maddie have agency all in one bundle there, but there's lots of different agencies. It's important because, for instance, in the book of Hebrews, I think Paul wrote it, others have other ideas, but it seems like it's Paul's letter and so on. But in that first chapter, in the second verse, you have an agency there. Many times in various times, God spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in the last days, he has spoken to us en huio. Now there's en with the dative, see, by means of his son, see, through his son. So you see there's en, there's dia. Now, notice, it's whom he set or made heir of all things. And then di who, by whom, there's dia with the ablative, by whom also he made the worlds. See, he made the worlds dia, see. Secondary, he, that is God the Father, made the worlds, but it was through, by means, secondary agency of the Son that he made the worlds, see. Hupa is primary agency, dia is a secondary agency. Not that the Lord Jesus Christ is inferior to the Father, but it's merely a secondary agency. The Father is spoken of as making the worlds, creating the worlds, and through the Son is doing it. The same is true in John 1:1, in chapter 1, I should say. We have agency. So all through the Scriptures you have agency. So although at this point we just take it or leave it, and it's not too prominent, yet in the Scripture as you expound them, for instance, in John 1:3, panta diautu agenita. All things panta diautu, through him, by means of him, secondary agency, agenita, were brought into being, so came to be, or existed, or were made. So it's diautu, through him, primary agency. So it's interesting to see the agencies in Scripture. And as I say, hupa, generally spoken of as primary agency, and dia, these other ways, secondary agency. And then there's agency of the thing, or the substance, you know. In other words, you may be saved by water, see, by means of water. If you, for instance, are flooded with water when a fire comes, you're saved by water. But you also may be saved by the fireman, you see. And so they've got, the Greek has got a way of saying the different bys. And I believe it's N, or with the locative or instrumental rather, or just the instrumental alone, it's the substance by which you're saved by water. See? Like Noah was saved by water, you know, and those people were saved by water, and in fact they were, others were killed by water, but and then, but they're saved by the firemen. See, that would probably be the hupa with the, as a primary agency. It, now you can also think of, they're saved by water, and then there's some other way they'd be saved through the diligence of some caller who called, you see, and therefore they were saved by a call to the fire department, see. And that may be secondary agency, dia. But they're saved by the firemen who arrived on the scene. See, all these are by, see, by. They're by water, because that was what saved them, that they doused the flames on their body or made it impossible for the flame to touch them. They're saved by the firemen on the scene. They're saved by a call to someone. See, all these different things. So the technicalities of it, you got in the Greek language. And those are the nuances that later on, they don't bother us in the first year Greek, but exegesis and Dana and Maddie and A.T. Robertson's large grammar, those all get involved in this, you see. And so I just throw that out. Probably shouldn't at this point, but we do anyway, since we have learned about it, we just go ahead and share that with you for what it's worth. Any questions further on A6? That's more or less what I have for that chapter. Exercises, take exercise in paragraph 47, three things with English to Greek. I guess there's no problem there. Notice the footnote, the augment in the imperfect of exo is echon, for echon is esekon. Echon is esekon. So there's certain showing what the things are. So. He has allergy?
Yeah.
That's too bad. I need to see him in a suitable situation. Did you try vitamin C at all or anything?
Sure.
To clear up. And they're really heavy vitamin C, 500
milligrams. About, about 1,000 a day.
Yeah. Well, you see.
Stuff too much. It makes
sometimes it does. Yeah, I'm just saying. Vitamin C, I know it's helping many on that, and I know that. Okay, Larry, we're back on.
Right, he says, I'm back to Greek. Now, really, something bothers me about what you said about in Hebrews 1.
Yeah.
Hebrews 1:3 or 1:1. Where it says that he in these last times has spoken to his own son.
Uh-huh.
And does that have to be instrumental there? Or could that be
locative? Well, in the son, I mean, he was in his son, he was on. Yes, but these were translated in the
But there is no other indication that it.
Well, it's sort of a parallel again with the prophets. He was prophesied by the father by the prophets. Many times that our man of God has spoken in choice of faith and with the mind to the prophet, in the prophets, by means of the prophets, hath his blessing spoken and we owe in the son, by the son. So whatever you do with N we owe, you have to do N twice completely.
Well, is there anything is the lack of the article, is that indicative of anything?
That's indicative. See, that's what we call N artifice,
yeah,
which is the quality of it, the means of one. So, you know, the son is already definite because it's sufficient. It does not need to require the definite article to make it definite.
Right.
Anytime you have person referred to, certainly the Lord Jesus Christ, a name, you need not have that. They say, and by means of, you say at least not in English, but without the article, you're stressing the quality of that particular noun rather than the definiteness of it, just the sign. It's all the ramifications of sonship are involved. That's what's stressed without the article.
The idea of means sort of bugs me because I always view the Godhead that no one person of the Godhead actually acts totally independent of the others, that they all more or less act together when they act.
Yes, but you see, the Father didn't die on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit didn't die on the cross of Calvary. So there are certain areas where they're not all of equal. See,
yeah.
God the Father commissioned Son to go, the Holy Spirit empowered the Son while he's here. So they all act together. The Father raised the Son from the dead, the Son raised himself from the dead, and he was raised by the Spirit of God. I think that's the third one, if I'm not mistaken, the one in the passage of Romans. I'm not positive about the Spirit, but I think that. I think it's there. So you see, they work in conjunction with one another, but they are separate. And some of these areas of the ministry, they're unique, I should say. They're not separate.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be divided, but they're ministries. Are different in many areas. So, see, in twice prophetas, in the prophets, specifically, not in prophets in a general, stressing the quality of the prophet, but in the prophets, the special prophets of the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about there. God in the Old Testament prophets. That's why the article was there, and it's simple. But in the Son, there's only one Son, he's referred to the Son of the Lord Jesus. So, it could be local, in, but it also could be the means. And of course, that's where we translate it usually with the means. But there again, it's where exegesis comes in. You take N, you take the locative, the instrumental data, whatever it is, and you decide what the meaning is and what the possible meanings could be, and then you come up with the best meaning that you take in the context. And that's all you can do. And the data and matter, the root meaning is within, the composition Within the zone meetings, one is with the lock of the case, in, out, or at, within or among. In Bethlehem, in Bethlehem. And we mean among us. The provocative case is usually the place. The instrumental case, with or by means. When you see it today, why it's instrumental, it's provocative. By means is with it. It's provocative and the within or among or at or in. In that sense. So different means.
The reason being, I always think of him, you know, he's the object of faith. Mm-hmm. And you go all the forms of the guided bottle, and once you touch him, you've got him. And that's the, I like that a lot.
Yes.
I would like to see it that way.
Well, it does say in Colossians that God was in Christ, but we're in some good about it. Also, that Christ in you, that the glory of us is in him, Colossians dwelleth, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in him, there's locative. It's not by means of him, but it's actually location.
That is locative.
That's locative, I would think.
Yeah.
Certainly that is. So you see, you have both these playing together, and I think some of them need one, some another. Mm-hmm. Both are possible, and that's where you as an exegetical person, an exegete of the Greek New Testament, must decide what is the better. And give them both meanings, and if you're not positive as to what it is, we'll tell your people what could be this or this, and you favor this one, and go on from there.
Mm-hmm.
Some instances, huh?
Someday.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go on then to the vocabulary, page 49, paragraph 88. We're getting into first declension of the alpha stems now. All right, the vocabulary. Oh, by the way, okay, back to the Greek device.
It's a different Smith.
Different Smith, is it?
Chris Smith is an American.
Oh, it's a different Smith. Okay.
He's Republican.
All right, let's look at lesson 14, page 49 at the top, the vocabulary for next week. Beginning is what? Beginning. How do you pronounce that?
Arche.
You have that Arche. You know Arche?
Arche.
Remember him?
Archaic.
Old. I think that's probably all right. Archetype. Archaeology is the study of old things, beginning things in the beginning. Archetype, master type. See, archeo is to. The beginning, also first, and so on, and also old. So, arche, and arche, in all of us, in the beginning, was the word. That's for John 1:1. And arche, the very word, in the beginning.
How about the archangel?
Yes, archangel, the lead angel. All right, that's good. The beginning, the head angel, archangel. That's a good memory. Yeah?
Well,
in the sense of first, he's the number one. He's in the beginning, the primary. Yeah, that's
archangel. Does that mean that he's necessarily created first? Or?
No, if not necessarily created first, but he's number one. It's like who is number one?
Whatever. Avis Cry Carter.
Okay. They're number two? All right. Whoever.
How do we get that from RK?
Well, number one. See, beginning. Prime. The prime suspect. See, the primordial. See, this RK. So in the beginning, the archangel, it means the lead angel. The arch enemy, means your main enemy. Not beginning, but in the sense of beginning, therefore it's the basic enemy, your prime enemy. It's the beginning of things, the foundation. See, the foundational enemy, the root enemy. So see, this word, arche, is both. It's beginning, it's also primary or first, and therefore most important. All right, writing or scriptures, though.
Okay.
And we should say, listen, put in your article there, K, arche. Hey, grafe, and I'm going to ask you for that next time. So please put your articles. Have you got any articles in the other one? No, I guess it's all verbs. Please put that in there. Hey, grafe, hey, arche. All right, that's feminine. What's your memory in there? There's plenty of little guys there. So grafe.
Mm-hmm.
Graphic arts? Pornographic books? What? Lithograph? Mimeograph? So a lot of that. Telegraph?
Hmm? He is a rough reading.
Pardon me?
Ada.
Oh, yeah, hey, yeah, rough reading. Hey, grafe. Hey, grafe. All right. Commandment?
Commandment.
Entelai. I don't know if I remember hence for that. Entelai. Entelai. Life. Or we should say, hey, Entelai. Hey, Entelai. Life. Or be life.
Hey, Zoe. Zoe.
Hey, Zoe. All right, hey, Zoe. Any memory hence for that?
Zoo's out.
Zoo. That's right. Zoo. Living creatures or zoology. Zoology. That's the thing, you see. Mm-hmm. All right. Voice. The voice. This is a voice. A pone. All right. A pone. Phonograph. All right. All right. Phonology. Phone. And so on. The soul as well. The soul.
H-C-K.
Okay. Yeah, that's someone. H-C-K. Any memory here, sir? Psychology. Psychology. Epsilon changes into Y. So psych. C-S-Y. C-K. Psychology. All right. The love is what? Agape. And that's any memory here, sir? It got me all over.
Yeah, I mention it once a week in church.
Really?
Oh, at least.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. And I never took any Greek.
Yeah, and that was one of the signs of scripture, but that's not a possibility. All right, the covenant or the testament. The covenant or the testament? Any memories for that? I don't know, but this comes from two words, dia and teke, and teke comes from tete, and put it a place. So to put it a place through, or to put it a place beside, it's placing beside, placing the covenant of testament. Putting in someone's hands, you know, that's all right. So can't think of anything. The New Testament, the New Covenant, that's in the Hebrews. All right, the righteousness. Again, put your article always. Hey, the kaiyasune. Hey, the kaiyasune. The kaiyas is the word for just, and the kaiyasune, the kaiyasune is righteous. Don't know of any memory here other than. You heard that word, Iren?
I didn't know that word to begin with.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, it's a good word. I-R-E-N. I see. Iren.
That's what Irene means.
Irene means peaceful. Village is what? The village. And I don't know if I remember it on Kome particularly. But all these substances, the first declension, endings in A or A, under gender, under article K.
Remember? Remember, anclitics and proclitics were tied in, but not with this paragraph. I probably should tie that in with what else we had on page 44, talks about proclitics, and that ties in with page 32. So page 32, 44, and now we've got this page 50. So I'll put page 44 and page 32, and I'll say page 50. You know, if you like a little cross-referencing there in your book, you can work it out. 32. All right, that'll be enough, I guess, on mine, so I can leave it. Yes?
I have a question about this declension.
Right.
There's the second declension doesn't have any feminine verbs?
Well, I mean the nouns? Basically, they're masculine. I don't know that they have any offhand. There's some that look like they're masculine, hey, hados, but they're really feminine. Because the article is hey, but it's hados, like hodometer, the way. I'm the way, the truth, and life, hados. It's the os ending, but it's the hey article, so you ride that horse all the way down, see.
But actually, the genders generally, I think, would be masculine. I don't know of a offhand of a feminine one. But basically, they're masculine, the os endings.
So the second declension is
usually all feminine.
O is omicron
stems?
Masculine. Yeah, masculine, yeah. Omicron stems. All masculine. Generally, that's the rule of thumb. As I said, there are always exceptions coming in, so I don't want to be dogmatic about it, but I don't know in my mind as I think through it right now of any, but there may be some. But it's a rarity. These others are feminine. Hey, so.
So the only thing.
Now, by the way, you can have neuters now in the first declension. Remember, we've had neuters.
Yeah, right, so that's all there is masculines and neuters in the first declension.
Basically, that's the general rule of thumb. Right, yeah, as far as we see it now, that's it. That's our generalization.
Second declension.
Yeah, you said first.
The second declension, yeah. Second declension. See, here we have logos, anthropos, uranos, and then to ergon. That's all second declension. Hadulos and to doron. See, those are all second declensions. The first six ones we've supposedly learned in times past, and hopefully in the future as well we'll know them, are second declensions. Then starting with hephone and hekome, and hekardia, those are all second declensions, our first declensions. They're second in point of time, but they're first. So talk about primary and secondary endings. And our he and archangel in the beginning. So that's what we have. Basically, that's the way the rule of thumb is the feminine of the second declension and masculine of the first declension. Hey Aletheia is again feminine, is second declension. Hey Glossa is feminine, second declension, first declension, first declension. Let me correct that. Now Ha Prophetes has got a first declension looking ending, but it's Ha, it's masculine in gender. Just like I say, Hey Hodas has got a Hey article, feminine, and Hodas has got a masculine ending looking, but it's really feminine. The article is that what determines the gender. You know, when that article is, that's it, no matter what it looks like. See? So always look at the articles. Hot Neonias is masculine, and that's Visara. There's an example of a first declension, Hot Neonias. It's a first declension noun, but it's a masculine gender. There's an exception to what we're talking about right there. Hot Neonias. Ta Anima. Now, here, from 14 and on, that begins the third declension. You are with onoma and then onomatos. See, atos. See, that funny looking genitive, see. With a different syllable, added the syllable. There's your third declensions, see, which are adding syllables to that genitive. Onomati and so on. But neonia, here's your exception. Ha neonia, the youth, the young man, see. It's a masculine, and yet it is first declension. All right, so there are a few exceptions. I'm glad I wasn't dogmatic on that. Never can be in Greek or Hebrew or any other language. Always have these exceptions, but the general rule is the os endings be masculine, and that's a good rule. The first declension usually are feminine, but occasionally you have a masculine tucked in. That's what we have there. And I haven't still found os ending that was feminine. You know, I mean a second declension that is feminine. I haven't yet found it, but I have found a first declension that's masculine. So, you know, we have to be very cautious on that. All right, anything else on that? They started with the os because it is simpler to look at, I guess. Yes, Lou?
One thing on that. You just said the article determines, but they make the statement that first declension endings are what determines the gender.
Where is this now? What paragraph is that?
89.
All the subjects of the first declension whose nominees are feminine gender. Well, it's stating the fact that all whose nominatives end in alpha or eta are feminine, see.
But it doesn't really speak
necessarily
to the article.
Yeah, no, that's right.
It's
no.
Assuming the article is always going to be hey.
Well, you see, if you read that directly now, I don't think it's assuming what you first said either, Lou. Now, let's look at that. I may be wrong, but on first sight, all substantives or nouns or adjectives of the first declension, whose nominatives end in alpha or eta, are feminine and gender. That's only whose nominatives end, first eta. But there are, apparently, if you read that another way, there are substances of the first declension whose nominatives do not end in alpha or eta. And they may or may not be feminine. In other words, it's not saying the ending determines in so many words. It's just simply saying those of this are this. See? What I'm saying is the ending may very well determine gender, but the way we see it, the earmarks of it, that can never deceive us is that article. No matter what that ending looks like, it may look like a masculine ending or a feminine ending, that article is masculine, it's masculine. That article is feminine, it is feminine. And that's a very
safe determinant.
Article, from our standpoint, it identifies. See, it identifies to us what it is. That's why it's important to know these articles, just write down backwards and forwards, and so on. Now, some articles are the same in masculine and feminine. Tone, right? Same. No difference. Is that right? Any others that are the same? Tice are different there. Tay, that would be different. Tay and toe. I guess that's the only one, but tone and tone, you know, and the endings like that, you don't know whether it's masculine or feminine. In fact, neuter is the same, is it not? Neuter endings, for instance, on the road, let me see here. Doron, yes, here's the doron. So here's the gift. Tadoron, yes. So old ending could be masculine, feminine, or neuter, so you don't know what you got. So there's certain things that you can't determine, but you can by the context. All right, we were finished then. Any questions on our assignment for next week? Just by repetition and reiteration, we'll take the exercises, paragraph 87. We'll take the vocabulary, 88. We'll take 90. We go back 78.
78.
In fact, we've got to take the exercise before that, haven't we?
No.
No?
We already did the exercise before that.
We did it tonight. We start clean with 13, right?
Right.
That's right. Okay, so we have the 78 vocabulary, 80 and 83, which are the same except different translations, 87 exercises, and then paragraph 88 for vocabulary, and 90 for declensions. No exercises on that particular lesson. Any questions on our assignment then for next week? Okay, then let's take our exercises out if we can. We have two tonight?
Yes.
Two tonight. Okay, let's exchange papers and look at them, please. Pardon me? Oh, we got last week's? Okay, because you were here last week. All right, now let's see if some of our men can grade the last week's either before or after or whatever. If you maybe have some papers for us. This one was graded. We'll see if we can get a 10 on this also, Steve. But grade what we have tonight for now, and then if we can do this other, and you probably have your exercises right there, some of you who were here last week, and can look them over quickly.
Want to get my other one?
All right, go ahead and exchange papers. Do you have
Manny's?
All right. Do you have one? Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
All right, he needs one.
Take Manny. Give him Manny's, Steve.
Hmm? Yeah,
he doesn't you don't have one?
Because Lou's doesn't have one. See, Lou's doesn't have
what
one.
What do you have there?
I have just one Larry's.
Oh, okay.
Everybody got one?
That's a handful.
All right, this is in, we're on page 43, right? Paragraph 71.
Right.
All right, let's... somebody read that. Let's go right through. We have 30 minutes. I think we'll be able to handle it in 30 minutes. Exercise without trouble.
Amenita.
Amenita. All right. What does that mean? Amenita. Imperfect. Indicative action.
Ye were remaining.
Pardon me? Ye were remaining. All right. Ye were remaining. You plural remaining. Ye were remaining. All right. What's the next one? Read it. Or ye were abiding, you know. Abide in me. What else? What's this next one?
Ekraze.
All right, ekraze. And that means what?
He was crying out.
All right, he was or she was or it was crying out. All right, kladzo, ekraze. He was crying, it was crying, she was crying out. All right, any questions on that? All right, the next word is?
Ebalas.
And that's from balo. So this is what?
You were throwing.
You singular were throwing. You singular were throwing. Any questions on one? All right, number two. What is this one here? First form. Read it.
Heuriskomen.
Heuriskomen. Heuriskomen. Heuriskomen. All right, what does that mean? From heurisko. Fine. Pardon me?
We were hearing.
Right? We were hearing. Imperfect.
No, Heurisco is fine.
Combining. Right.
Heurisco. Hearing. Is that cool? Okay, we were finding. All right, we were finding, that's correct. Heurisco, we were finding. Any questions on that one? Next form is Episteuon. Which is episteuo, to believe. So this means what? Either they were believing or I was believing. Either one. All right, I was believing or they were believing. Any questions on that? Next form? Ekoe would be what? Ekoe.
He was hearing.
He was hearing, okay. He was hearing from Akua. Any questions on that? Ishirit was hearing. All right, next form, next sentence is what? Emenon, en, to, oiko. All right, that means what? From Meno?
I was remaining,
or they were remaining?
In the house.
In the house, en, to, oiko. I was remaining, or I was staying, I was abiding in the house.
It's also they, right? They were
remaining. They were abiding, that's right. Either one, they or I. Same form. Question on three. All right, let's try number four. What does that say?
Technon. Ebale. Lithus.
All right, technon. Ebale. Lithus.
The children.
We're throwing.
Stones.
All right, the children.
The child.
Not ta tekna, yeah. Which would be the children. This ta tekna, which is the one child he was throwing. Yeah. See, because it had to be ebalon, is this third person singular. It was throwing stones. All right, the child was throwing stones. Any questions on four? Number five. Read that.
Akurios.
Esodze, which being interpreted is
the Lord was saving the men.
All right, the Lord was saving the men. That's right.
Amen.
Any questions on that? Number six, we read
Hoi
Apostoloi
Ekeirison.
Logon. All right. What is that?
The apostles.
Were proclaiming or were preaching
the word. All right. Apostles were preaching or were proclaiming the word. Imperfect. Any question on that? All right. Let's go to English to Greek. You were saying is what? Say is lego. Imperfect is.
Elegon,
so this would be you plural?
Elegase.
Oh, you're taking elegase, you're right, elegase, or elegase, is it?
Elegase.
Yes. Or, if there's you plural, elegata, if it's you plural. So either of those two, elegase or elegata. Any questions on that one? All right, the next one. They were eating the bread. Estio is the word, so it would be
Aestion
with an Eta, right? Aestion, the bread.
Ton Arton.
Aestion with Eta. Ton Arton. Any question on two? All right, the teacher was sending garments for the children. Teacher?
Or
the Daskalos was sending, that would be from Apostolo, or just plain Stella. Which do you have? Apostolo or Stella?
It could be Pempo, too.
It could be Pempo, yes.
Estella.
Teacher, he was sending. Estella. The garments. Himation is Ta Himation, so it would be Ta Himatia. It's neuter, see, ta himatia, right? Ta himatia, for the children.
Why would it be ta?
Because it's plural, see, neuter plural.
But you don't have to use ta, is what he said.
Oh, no, it's just himatia, if you want. Yeah, but usually you have the article, it just seems to go with it. No, that's the only reason. Sometimes they don't have it, but generally, you slip it in. If you don't have it, that's all right, we'll count it all right. But generally they have...
Well, would be, except unless there was the th, right?
The. Yeah. Well, yeah, but you see, in English we don't usually use the garments, but the Greek uses the article, one of the English doesn't. So they say the teacher was sending garments instead of the garments. He says garments in general. But it may very well have the in there. See, just like contrary-wise, in the Greek, when they don't have an article, Anthony's last day spoken unto us by his son or through his son, we put an article through his son, through the son, and the Greek doesn't have an article. So it's changing back and forth. Some in English have the article, some do not. In Greek, some have and some have not. It just depends on what you're saying. If you don't have it, that's all right. I usually like to put ta hematia in those. It just sort of identifies it, and it's clean and neat, and mostly the Greek does have it, usually. For the children as well?
Tois
technois. Tois technois, sorry. Any questions on three? Hadidaskos, was sending elege, sending estela, rather, estela, ta hematia, or just hematia, tois technois. Four, he was taking up the child from the womb. To take up would be what?
Ago.
Eri.
Ago? Anago, is it?
Airo.
Airo? Take up? Airo.
Yes.
Right, Airo. So, Airo?
Eri.
No, it's not Ago, is it?
Eri.
It'd be A.
Well, Airo is to take up.
Airo,
so it'd be
A.
Yeah,
but it's not O on the end
o.
of it.
Oh, no, but I mean the verb is Iro, yeah, the verbs are. So your form here would be not Iro, no, but what?
Eri.
He was taken. Not Eri. See, Eri is
I was
saying
it was Ago, that's why I was.
Oh, I see.
Eri. Instead of Iro.
Iro.
Eri.
That's right, get the Eri. S. Because when you say Eri, yes, it ends in Eri. See, that would be wrong. It doesn't end in Eri. It'd be Eri. Eri. He was taking up. Child? What's the accusative?
Technon.
Of ta techna. Ta techna. So not ton technon, no. It's the neuter, ta technon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is neuter. So the neuter accusative is the same as the nominative, isn't it? Ta technon. Technon, right? Ta technon, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Ta technon. And the that's why it's handy to have these charts here. You got ergon, see? Ta ergon right here for the accuser, see? And that's the one that's just technon. Ta technon. So ta ergon, the ending, ta ergon. Right?
What's the first word?
First word, aere. Aere. Aere, re, ro, epsilon. Aere, excuse me, aere. Aere, I said aere.
Okay.
Yeah. Yoda subscript under there, yeah.
No yoda.
Should be a yoda subscript under there, right?
Yeah.
See that Ada turns into Ada Yoda subscript. Have we learned that? Is that in toilet somewhere along the line? It should be.
No, it's no, that's not. There's no subscript
on
that.
There's
a subscript.
Oh, that's the form that they gave us?
Yes.
Oh, no, he's right. It is there because it's I row. It's supposed to be I row. So the I turns into an A with Yoda.
That's the usual way to do it, I know. It's some unusual form. Some forms are unusual. They do drop the Yoda subscript.
I
think you have to put that Yoda subscript in there. Here it is, page 42. Yeah, that gives us the picture, see. Epsilon becomes Eta, and Epsilon Yoda becomes Eta Yoda subscript. See there? Page 42 at the bottom. Epsilon Yoda A may become Eta Yoda subscript. Remains A, Epsilon in New Testament.
But the one you're looking for is I, which is for the second line. I
becomes. Oh, yeah, because A to Yoda. Okay, that's right. I'm looking for the I rather than A. That's right. Alpha Yoda becomes A to Yoda subscript. So, Eire would be what it would be. Eire. What page are we on? I lost my place.
We're on 43.
On 43, thank you. All right. 43? Page 43. You mean we're finished with the other?
No, well, that's where we were, weren't we?
Oh, 43, you're right. Oh, I looked at 45, it looked like 43. That 5 and 3 is sort of fuzzy in my head. All right, he was taking up the child, technon, from the boat. We didn't get from the boat yet. Boat is ploion, is it?
Right.
Ploion, it's the neuter. So from? Apo.
To
Ployu, right? You'd use the appetite there from the book. Any questions on that? He was taking up Ere, the child, to technon, from the word apo, to ployu, to ployu, rather. All right, let's go on to the next one, the final one, number 5. The men were leading the servants into the house. Page 43, the Pepfun, Ketsen. The men were leading, the men would be anthropos, the man, so anthropos would come into what?
Hoi.
Anthropoi. Hoi anthropoi. Or maybe anthropoi. I guess it would be anthropoi. Anthropoi. Hoi anthropoi. We're leading. Lead, of course, would be ago, would it? Ago. So imperfect.
Ego.
Egon. So that would be, were they were leading. Egon, right? Hoi anthropoi. Egon. The servants. The servants would be. Huperetes is a servant in Greek, but also
Toulos
would be servants, I guess, also the slaves. Tous doulos into the house. It has to be oikos, ha oikos, into the house. Ace.
Oikon.
To oiko. Toi oko. To oiko, right? Ace. To oiko. See, it's ha oikos. To. Tau omega yorosubscript. To.
No,
right.
But that should be accusative, shouldn't it? Into goes with an accusative, right?
Well, all right.
I'm pretty sure that's what it said in
the only with the accusative.
Maybe so. All right, then, if you don't have the ace.
It says right there in paragraph 72.
All right, if you don't have the ace, I guess you're right on that. If you don't have the ace, just put to oiko. If you put the ace, you can put the ace. On oikon, see. All right. I'm not up on the aces and the others, but the into, of course, if you don't have the preposition, you'd have just the simple locative, wouldn't you? But with it, I guess you'd have, where does it say that?
Paragraph 72. The second word in
ace, or with the accusative one. All right, ace, all right, ton oikon. All right, that's what you'd have to do then. Mm-hmm. If you left it out, it'd be to oiko. Are any other questions on that exercise 71? There are 58 points on that one, but we'll take the other one together with it. Now let's move to exercise 77 on page 45. Starting with the Greek to English, let's read the first one, first sentence.
Hoi
apostoloi.
Emenon.
En. To oiko, all right, which is translated as the apostles were remaining or were staying in the house. Apostles were staying in the house. Any questions on that? All right, two, let's read that one there.
Alkudios
apestele
tus
huius
ace
ton Kosma. Alright, that's translated what?
Lord
was sending forth.
Was sending away or was sending forth?
His sons
or his sons
into the world.
Into the world. Alright. Any questions on two?
Would it also be his?
Yes. We were the sons. And sometimes
we didn't learn.
Well, we learned a technical thing last time. I think we had a footnote saying or his.
Mm-hmm.
That you, some of you were there. But I think there was a little footnote. So, in a sense, we have touched upon it. I don't remember where it was. But anyway, the sons is fine. But you will find that can be his sons. Sometimes too. We'll learn that later. But now you've said these sons, if you wish. Into the world. Any questions?
There are pronouns, though, aren't there, that we'll learn later?
Yes, his sons, it's on. They're there, but you see, one of the ways of showing possession would be the sons. The article is used as a possessive. The third person pronoun is autos. I learned that, I think, last week. I'm not sure, maybe it was the week before. Autos. It means the same, self, autocrat, you see. But if it's in the oblique cases, like auto, autu, auton, that is the third person singular masculine pronoun. You see, you have I, ego, separate form. You have you, she is you, thou, you know. But the third person singular, it's autos if it's he, or aute if it's she. So you use the word autos to make that. And it's only used in the oblique cases, or what you call the genitive, ablative, the locative, instrumental, dative. Those are an accusative. Those are the oblique cases. In those cases, when you see auton or auto or autes, those are he or she, like that. That's the pronoun. Or his. So that's the way you work on that. But the can be used to refer to a possessive, his sons. But we can translate these sons. Any questions on further on that number two? All right, read number three then, class. Athaos, Hegere, Tus, Ekrus, Ek, Thanatu. Thanatu. Don't forget your accents when you're reading. You must put them where they are. All right. It's easier said than done. Translating it as well.
God.
And here again, you see, you wouldn't say the God. You just say God. You leave out the article in Greek. Even though you put it in Greek, you leave it out in English. So the languages must be faithful unto their own rules. All right. God. Hegere.
Raised up.
Was raising up.
Was raising up,
probably. Raised up, probably would be the aorist, although it's possible was raised up. Tus necrus.
The dead
ones. Thanatu.
From the dead.
From death. Raising up the dead ones, you see. Tus necrus, the dead ones. From death. Any questions on three?
How about out of death?
Out of death is fine. And Paul says in Philippians that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and that is the ex-anastasis, ecton necron. It's interesting, that phrase. Dr. Emrati Hahn, teacher of the radio Bible class for years, and my teacher for 1 year in the Detroit Bible class when I was a student at the University of Michigan, he pointed that out in Philippians. Paul didn't just want to arrive at the resurrection, the second resurrection even, because he was going to be in the second resurrection, the first resurrection. Anyway, he's going to be with the believers. That wasn't what he was saying, but he wanted an out resurrection from those who were resurrected from among the dead ones. He wanted to be with rewards, with gold, silver, and precious stones, you see, rather than haywood and stubble. And that form is indicative of that, speaking about the dead ones. Philippians 2, is it 14, or in there, 10? I probably can't find it readily. 2:10. That by any means I might attain the resurrection. Is it 2? Or is it 4? We live as Christ and die again. I don't know. I'll have to take a look at my interlinear, which got the English on the margin to get my bearings here. Unfortunately. Colors too. Let's see what we have here. For good version, maybe it's 4. Finally, my brother. You know, to me, that's love is Christ, and I guess one. It's the. Without my regular Bible, isn't that a terrible thing? My beloved brethren, 3, maybe it's 3. Yes, it is 3. I press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. So, now verse 11, 3:11, Philippians 3:11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, well, just in English that you don't know resurrection ever. It means he's not going to be raised? Sure. Does it mean he's going to be raised for the believer, sure, but there's something beyond that he wants. He's asking, and that phrase is that I may arrive at the ex-anastasis. Anastasis, ana, see, stasis is from histeme, it is stand. Ana is up. See, that's the primary meaning of that preposition, up. To to stand up, and then exanastasis, the outstanding of those, in other words, the out-gathering of those of the resurrection, the out-resurrection, you might say, ton nekron, of the dead ones, from among the dead ones, the ton nekron, of the dead. So he wants not just the resurrection from the dead. See, the resurrection from the dead, the first resurrection, we will be resurrected from the dead ones. The dead ones that are lost will still be staying there in the graves, you see. But Paul doesn't just want that resurrection from among the dead ones, like it will take place at the rapture. He wants the ex-anastasis. Those that are resurrected from among the dead ones, he wants to be ex out from a special select group that have rewards, that are specially favored by the Lord. And this is the phrase there. So there's different ways of using these from the dead ones. And here in that sentence, I'd call that to mind. All right, that was number what? Number two or three, wasn't it?
Yes.
From death. All right, raise the dead ones from death. All right, four. Let's read that one, see what that says. Better hasten along here. Paralambanamen. All right, paralambanamen.
On
logon.
To
theu.
Apo.
To. Kuriu, right? To Kuriu, right? What does that say? Paralambano is to receive, isn't it?
We were receiving.
We were receiving
the word
of God from the Lord. We were receiving the word of God from the Lord. Any questions on four? All right, sentence five on page 45. Reading it first. Anthropos. Lempetai.
Para
to theu. All right, what does that say? Anthropos,
the man.
Pempetai
was sending.
Well, here it was Pempetai being sent, was sending himself. It could be the passive or perfect or a middle. I was being sent. Para to the
beside
God or from God. From near God or from beside God, right? Or by God, see.
From the side of God.
From the side of God is fine. From the side of God. Or in this case, maybe it was being sent by God. See, para, in the sense of it was from God's side, but also by Him. See, there may be an agency in there, by Him, possibly. But from the side of God is fine, by God. All right, six. Reading it first, please.
Hoi
duloi emenon soon place anthropos. All right, what does that say?
The
servants, the slaves. I don't like servants there because doulos is slave, bond slave that has no will of his own, and there's another word for servants in a huperetos or huperetes or the various other things. But anyway, we're learning doulos, and that's what it is, servants, so we go ahead with servants. That's all right. And it really is, you know, a real strong word, doulos, slave. All right, the servants or the slaves. Eminon, we're remaining or we're abiding, or we're staying.
Beside.
With. Probably with.
No,
the men. With the men. Any questions on six? All right, let's try then the English to Greek as we have the last 6 minutes before we close. He was sending the child out of the boat. Tempo is send, or apostello is a send, or stello, either one. What do you want to pick? He was sending. Epempe. He was sending the child. Tautechno is the child, so we have what? Tautechno. We're exactly the same as the nominative. Out of the boat. Boat is toploion, so this would be out of the boat. Ek to ployu, right? Ek to ployu. Out of the boat. And if you have a different case with ek, just say to ployu, just, you know, out of the boat, and you'd have it without the ek. Either with or without the ek. Any questions on one? All right, two. The child was throwing stones into the house. Tatechnon would be the child, so we'd have what? Tatechnon to throw would be
embole.
Abalone. I'd Balo is to throw, so it'd be Ebalet. Ebalet. The child was thrown. Ebalet. Stones would be lithos, holithos, so it would be two lithus, or just lithus if you wish, two lithus into the house. Here we are with the ace with the accusative again. I would just say oiko, to oiko rather, and you would say ace ton oikon, which is fine. Ace ton oikon, into the house. Are any questions on two? All right, the servants were eating up the bread. Servants would be doulos, that's what you learn anyway. So it'd be oi douloi, we're eating, eating is estio. So it'd be
katis.
Oh, you're going to eat up. Okay, kat estio. I kat ace theon, kat ace theon, or just ace theon, ace theon, ace theon.
So that's an eta and not an
epsilon. No, because you see, estio is already on there, so you'd have to have not a syllabic augment, but a temporal augment. You have to raise that to the higher power. Epsilon would have to raise up to an eta, see? Right? Show that that was an augment. Kat aestheon. Or just aestheon. Eta, aestheon. Right? You see that S at epsilon, it goes up to the eta. See? See? Aestheon. Like that, right? Instead of S theo. So you already have an epsilon there. See? So you can't just put S theon, you know, like that. You got to raise this up. It's got to go to the eta. That's to give an augment in the imperfect, you see. You always have to have an augment in the imperfect. Indicative, anyway. Any other question on that? S theon, we're eating up. Kat S theon. Yes, that's why Larry said kata, because eating up. So kat S theon, the bread. Artos is the bread, so this would be ton arton, or ton arton. Any questions on three? All right, four, the Lord was sending forth the apostles. Halkurios is the Lord, so Halkurios is it, right? Halkurios was sending, that would be Pempo if you want, or Apostolo, or just Stella. Apostolo if you want.
Apestele.
Sending forth the apostles, accusative of ho apostolos. Ho apostolos is apostle, so this would be what?
Tus apostolos.
Any questions on four? Akurios was sending apostele, the apostles, tus apostolos. Five, the teacher is about to receive the bread from the child. What would that be? Hadaraskolos is the teacher. Hadaraskolos is about. Remember that to about to do something is mellow, isn't it?
Right.
So, emele, right? Emele.
He was is about, not was about, right?
Okay, just mellow then. That's right. You're right. Mellow. Have to be this present.
Mellow.
See, mellow. Oh, yes, you're right. Mellow. You're right. No. Because we're in the present, not the imperfect now. Okay, that's right. Mellow, meles, mellow. Epsilon iota in the end. Mellow. Teacher is about, mele, to receive. Lambano is the verb, so the infinitive would be lambanein, the bread, ho'artos, so this would be what?
Ton
arton, from the child, ek, paideon is child, ek, to paideon, right? Ek to paideon, from the child.
Paideon?
Or technos, you want technos? All right, you want technos to be apo. From, I guess, apo to technu, if you wish. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that? Hadaraskolos, mele, lambanein, ton arton, apo to technu. Any questions on that? All right, the total on that is 65, and the total on the other is 58. So, what is that total up there?
17.
58 plus 26. 65. 123.
121.
123 plus, okay. Oh, wait a minute. I got to take that out. Okay, 123. Oh boy, we missed it. I'm sorry. What do you got? 121?
Did you say
123? Yeah, 123. You got 121? All right, let me see. Divided by. That's 98%. 8%. You know, anybody else have any numbers?
119.
119. Okay, divided by 96.7 makes 97%.
116.
116 makes 94%. 94%. Any other numbers? Okay.
Well, we can do these.
That's the one from last time. All right, well, I'll take care of them. That's fine. That's good. I'll see if I can get these taken care of. Next week, we have a lot of time in between during the test. Plenty of time for a lot of odds and ends. All right, any other comments you have or questions on any of these matters? You still got some more working on there, Lou?
Yeah, I
okay,
did.
All right,
I didn't realize it. I had
to turn it back to the owners, make sure they see it, and then we'll finish with it, and I'll hand it up. We'll have it. Didn't have any time for the Gospel of John this week. Last week we did. We had, well, it depends on the lesson, I guess, and what we have to accomplish and how much we talk about vitamin C, etc.
Do get off on tangents occasionally.
But I thought we did a little bit quite well tonight. I mean, not too many minutes, maybe 10 or 15. But I needed that for the tape. I needed a few minutes anyway. Excelsior. Is it Excelsior? Yes, isn't that what you wrap things up in? Excelsior? You ever heard? You don't use that word? That little fine stuff that's sinewy and like spaghetti, you know, it's paper and so on. That Excelsior to pack its packing materials. So it doesn't rattle. It's called Excelsior. Hmm. All right, so you got your one there. Oh yeah, you have to, as much as you want there.
What are those?
Those are things for tabs for index cards. 3x5. My wife is trying to get rid of them. We had thousands of Bible per day before we got our computer, and they're more or less flags. They show you how to label things. You know, you have a little tab, you can find it readily. For instance, like in your Greek book, you can put on index or index. They're index tabs. Do you have that figured out yet?
Oh, done.
All right.
Can
we take the marbles too?
Right, I'm concerned you can take all of them. Yeah,
what was this?
Yeah, boy, somebody made this. I guess my son Dan, and there was liquid in that top to start with. I don't know what, I guess the whole thing was in liquid to start with. Is there oil or some sort?
Candle?
Maybe it was a candle. Yeah, I think it was a candle. Yeah, I think that is right.
Floating candle, yeah. Seems
floating candle. And now we are no more floating, so for closing prayer, then you men who have to leave for studying or you can't. Let's, Romney, please close in a word of prayer as the Lord will lead
you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this language and that you've preserved it so well for us. And we ask that you would bless us this week. Help us to glorify your name and be a good testimony in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good. Keep up the good work, man. We'll see you next week.